Udsendelsen, du lytter til, er finansieret af Kontrasts medlemmer. Hvis du kan lide det, du hører, så meld dig ind på kontrast.dk/medlem.
Du lytter til Trans og Tradition. Denne podcast omhandler identitetspolitik og ideen om, at dine politiske holdninger skal dikteres af din identitet. LGBT-miljøet i Danmark, men også i Vesten generelt, er blevet kapret af den yderste venstrefløj, der ikke efterlader plads til anderledes tænkende. Som ung borgerlig transseksuel er jeg optaget af de fordomme og kontroverser, der er omkring det at være en minoritet og højreorienteret, og hvordan LGBT-bevægelsen og identitetspolitikken er begyndt at gå for vidt og kaste sine sorte skygger over den vestlige verden og vestlige kultur. Og jeg vil gerne vise, at der findes et alternativ til venstrefløjens seksualpolitiske dogmer.
An argument we hear from LGBT activists they use to justify that there are more than two genders is that they point out the existence of intersex people. They see the intersex condition as a third gender, but is it? I have the perfect guest here today to answer that question. Delea Rundblad is a singer and a fashion designer and a self-claimed educator of KAIS, or what people know as intersex. Welcome, Delea.
Hi, nice to be here.
You too.
Thank you for having me. I don't know if you know this, this year is going to be my last year actively doing interviews and education specifically on this topic. I've been doing it since 2013. So I'm so happy that we're having this conversation today. It feels right.
Yes. Oh, that's great. So I use air quotes around intersex. Can you tell me what the right definition or the right term is, and what does it mean to deal with intersex?
Oh, that's a loaded question. There's no right or wrong, according to how I see things. Some people will see a specific term as incorrect because they have perhaps little tolerance for diversity of opinion, but that is not my case. I am a grown-ass woman, and so I don't see this as a rule that you have to call me anything. You can call me a helicopter for all I care. I'm so confident on whom I am and what have you. But for those who don't understand or is first time hearing about it, intersex people, that the term has been coined, and it was coined, I believe, in the 70s, something like that. So it's archaic. It's very old. It's been coined for individuals that are born with differences of physical characteristics, specifically maybe the genital area or something like that, or differences in genetic material, which would give a different genetic than what is commonly known as male or female. For instance, I have what is called complete androgen insensitivity syndrome, and there's several variations of that, which means basically is that a gene misfire, and my body is unable to intake androgens. Androgen equals testosterone. Mm. So this happened in the womb, and for that reason, I was born without a uterus, and I have XY chromosomes within me. And it's when people hear that, their minds start going really, really crazy, which is what happened to me as a child, you know, growing up in the 80s and 90s in Mexico. So it only means that my body could have turned me into a boy physically, but because it couldn't process those androgens the way that an average baby would, I was born like this, right? I'm feminine. I call myself what I live as a woman, But within the population of women with KAIS, of course, just like in any other segment of our population, there are women that identify as trans, there are women that identify as non-binary, all this, there's a whole gamma of things. It would take a long time for me to, you know, but it exists. The thing with us is that the women that have a heterosexual point of view about our lives, which is my case, have been very secretive about it because there's stigma, right? When you have certain things, and when things are not understood, they are feared, which happens with every area of our wonderful thing we call humanity, where we come in different shapes and colors, and everybody is fighting so hard to be understood, but not everybody is trying just as hard to be understanding. So this creates a whole lot of problems and judgment and all of that. So women like myself have typically kept it very quiet because unless I put a big sign on my forehead, you wouldn't know, right? Obviously, if there is there's PAIS, which is partial androgen insensitivity syndrome, which is a second step to what I have now. So there's some sensitivity to androgen, and now they are born with more what typically would be characterized as male to them. For instance, I don't grow any body hair at all. Lucky me. You know, I never had to shave. I get these questions, right? And I understand why. They think, oh, you have XY chromosome, so you're like, so you have to shave a lot, or, you know. So I don't get body hair, women like myself. I don't have to use deodorant. You know, we don't produce.
Oh, wow.
Odor. So that's peculiar about us. For women or male identified individuals that are born with PAIS, they have, maybe they have more of an in-between look to their genitalia. Okay. No, for me, not having a uterus is
it was, you can't tell. Yeah.
No.
When did you find out that you are born with KAIS?
Well, in my specific, and I have to say specific because every time that people hear, they say, well, not everybody is like this. And I just have to say, in my specific case, my mom had had a few miscarriages before me, and she was on a medication, which was a synthetic estrogen called dithiolstilbestrol, something like that, which was just had been banned of use because they found out it was causing a lot of problems. So for me specifically, I found out when I was born, they said something is up. I was purple. I was born at, I was swollen, and I was born at 7.5 months.
Wow.
For a girl that doesn't have exposure as I did or any other situation that is purely this condition, you will not be able to tell at all. Some of us are born with a little bit of a swollen belly where the gonads are. We're born with internal gonads. And so that's kind of a giveaway sometimes. Like, oh, something's going on there. But typically when you are 14 and or 15 and you haven't had your menses or menstruation, they will take you to the doctor and see, hey, what's going on with my daughter? And they begin the studies. And then that's when literally all hell breaks loose.
Wow.
Because nobody is prepared for this. And like I said, some women, the majority that I'm in contact with, don't give it the gravity that some activists give it, right? You're just living their lives and trying be as successful as they can with their career, as they should be. There's always an element of loss, obviously, because, you know, you lost the ability to make a choice to have a child of your own, but little things like that, obviously. But, for the most part, I mean, due to my work with this, I have been very fortunate to meet some amazing women here in the United States, which are very active. Nobody knows. I know. But, you know, some of them are in the entertainment industry as an actresses. Some of them are in politics. Some of them are sculptors, painters, poets. And it's just a detail in their lives, but it's not what
defines them.
Defines them or what their lives revolve around, which is what I advocate for.
Yes, I love that. I really love that. So I want to ask you, and I think you kind of touched on it a little bit, but are you trans like I am?
Oh, are you asking me if I'm trans? Mm-hmm. Well, if I wanted to call myself trans, I would be. You know, I don't see anything. It's just a definition.
Yes.
For yourself. Who do you want to be? I frequently, because I put out some videos for women to find me, or parents, yeah, you know, that have children like myself. And a lot of people, not a lot. I'm very fortunate that I don't get that much hate. But I do get the occasional meanie, you know, a mean person out there. And, oh, you're just a fancy trans, or little things like that, as if being trans is going to constitute an insult for me.
Right.
I know some of the most amazing human beings who are trans. Are you kidding me? Mm. The things that a trans person has to overcome and work for is just terrific for me. Call me whatever you want. You can call me trans. You can call me whatever. I don't have any preference. Why do I call myself? I'm just a girl.
Yeah.
I will tell you this. Even if I had been born just like a regular trans girl, I would still do that. I'm just a girl. Mm. And if it's not okay with you, that's fine. Call me whatever you want. I have better fish to fry, like they say.
You know? Yeah, it's about how do you see yourself? Like, mm-hmm. How do you live your life, your everyday life? But I was kind of asking it because you are a woman with an XY chromosome, and the Y in your body meant like what you could have been, but you didn't become it.
Right.
So that definition in itself is not the same as me. You know, I was just born a female, a regular female. Physically, yeah, a regular female, but then mentally there was something a little off. Oh, I'm gonna get hate for saying that, but so some people say that because people like you exist, it's proof that we have more than two genders. How do you feel about that?
More than two genders? I unfortunately don't believe that. I wish I did. Because they would make me a lot more popular. but I don't believe that. What's wrong with being androgynous and just calling it that? Honestly, yeah. I love David Bowie because he did him the way he wanted, however he wanted, for as long as he wanted. Mm. And I think if you want to call yourself a third gender, go ahead and do it. Don't expect everybody to understand it, and don't expect everybody to go by your rules, especially if your appearance varies from day to day. And we live in a society where the first thing that we see is what we see. That's how nature intended it, so that we can assess danger, so that we can assess attraction, so that we can assess even a level of intelligence or how polished someone is just by looking at them. So if somebody wants to call themselves a third sex, I'm okay with it. Listen, I am not worried about it. I personally don't believe in it.
No, me neither.
If anything, for someone like myself, I would just say I'm a woman born with a different sex development.
Yeah. So you don't see the condition as a third gender?
I don't. I have a medical condition.
Mm.
Because if I didn't, I wouldn't have needed to have my gonads removed. I wouldn't have needed to have therapy, vaginal therapy. I wouldn't have needed to, I wouldn't need at an early age to have bone density tests to make sure that I'm not going to fall apart when I'm an old lady. I wouldn't have to take medication now, you know, because what happened with we're born with gonads. I need to go back a little bit to expand on this, so, which is like a pseudo testy, right, inside. And the belief for many, many years has been that it should be removed. They should be removed because they would become cancerous, which we have now found out that is not the case. And what happens when they are there, they produce testosterone, which our bodies, by a process called aromatization, I sound so smart, aren't I? I've heard it so many times. By a process called aromatization, they turn that estrogen, I mean that testosterone, into estradiol or estrogen. And that's how our body said, no, we're not going to try to turn this being into a girl. It's into a boy, has to be a girl, right? So when they remove the gonads, there's nothing, and you cannot live your life without any hormone. You have to have something, either estrogen or testosterone, because our body needs something to regulate and modulate certain things inside. So some people still have spent a lot of time arguing about should they be removed or not. I say case by case. Sometimes there are problems, and you know, do I wish that mine had been left? No, because I'm such a girl that I'd rather have what I have now. I'm like a girliest girl you've ever met. Pink, I have dolls in my office. I mean, I'm just so girly. So I have a type of dysphoria to it.
Yeah.
I have dysphoria because I'm such a girl, and my femininity and my existence was questioned my entire life. That things like that give me dysphoria, right? Yeah. So
it makes sense. It really makes sense. I wanted to ask you a little bit about the LGBT community. And do you think the intersex or Kai's condition, does it belong in the LGBT acronym or just in the LGBT community in general?
Let me have some tea. Let me have a little tea before I start.
Tea in the Wonder Woman cup, yeah.
I don't. I really don't. And it's a tricky answer for one reason. As I said earlier, some of us are born trans or identify as trans or non-binary and all this type of things, which fit very well within the LGBT plus, you know, umbrella. But I don't think this has anything to do with it at all. In that respect, because the most visible of intersex people are consider themselves as queer or LGBT, they have sort of pushed the conversation of all of us into the LGBT umbrella, right? Is it right? Is it wrong? I just, my opinion is that it really doesn't belong there. It's at a case-by-case base.
So you are talking about, you have said multiple times that you are in contact with other girls with Kai's. So is that like just something you do, or do you have a website or anything, do you?
Sure. Yeah. I, in 2012, I began to look for other women like myself. Before that, I wanted nothing with it. I just wanted to be living my life and just continue progressing, you know. And I started to look for people like me, and I found a few groups. Now with the wisdom I have now, I see that they were not right for me. So through there, I met some, and not even a year later, I decided to leave that the whole beehive mind, I guess. I didn't find most of the ideas that were celebrated to fit within the life I have been leading, which when you become, you can be victimized, but to stay a victim is a choice. Things can happen to us and will happen to us until we say bye-bye to this planet. But staying a victim is a choice, because that means you're not allowing for new avenues of thought. You are giving that possibility that you are worth so much more than your current situation. That's why I love the word faith, not hope. Hope is a beggar. I hope this will happen. I hope that. No, have faith. When you have faith, you roll up your sleeves in the morning and you get up like I do at 5:30 in the morning so that I can be at the gym at 6:15. You don't have to do it, but this is the way that I honor myself. Because it's when you're a victim, there's no room for anything other than nurturing that. And then what happens is that you start meeting other people that are in that mindset.
Yeah.
Right. So then it becomes a group of people that are just echoing this mentality that you're a victim. Poor me, poor you, the world is unfair, the government is unfair, the job that you're working at does not appreciate you, they're unfair. Move! You're not a tree. You're not a tree. Do something. I ran away from most of the groups and mentalities because they were damaging my future.
Yeah.
There was a self-described queer activist, and she has pies, and she told me, you need to call yourself a hermaphrodite. You know, you're the powerful one. And I said, no, I don't think so. I am just a girl. And by the way, this was what they used to attack me when I was little.
Yeah, yeah.
They used it against me. Why would I do that? In fact, when I meet parents and I discuss this with them, I'm a light breeze for parents. I am not extreme when it comes to this thing. So why would I start using this? She did not care. No, we are this and we're that. And I realized then that I was not visible to her.
Yeah.
The agenda is to create a discontent. And I will tell you one thing I have learned. Angry, vengeful, people with a vengeance cannot be trusted. Mm-mm. Cannot be trusted, because your goal is not to make the world better. Your goal is to get even, right? And that is so unhealthy, I could cry. Yeah. As soon as I hear somebody talk like that, I know, my love, please change that. No matter what's happening to you, you can change it. You can work towards something. Have a vision, right? Because if you're so focused on relieving your maladies, everything that went wrong, there's no room for you to think about what can go right and how to get there.
Yeah, and the problem is also that it's not a it's you. Like we are all individuals. And this person cannot say, we have to call ourselves this. No, you can call it, that's fine, but don't tell me what I can call myself. And it's this hive mentality that we are running away from, as you said. How are the girls, like, how is that interaction you have with girls like you? Like, are they relieved? Are they happy that they can talk to you? Because you also deal with the condition and you're not an LGBT queer activist.
The women that I'm in touch with and the families that I'm in touch with are the non-victim type people. And we're invisible, really. We're really, it was just sort of me and a few, I don't honestly can't even count, because there's musicians and there's people in the public eye, and they're not talking openly about this because it's just a detail in their life. So I am in touch with a lot of people because I have been releasing videos in Spanish and English talking about this. I did one, do you just find out you have KAIS? What to know about KAIS and things like that, specifically naming the condition. Because when you call it intersex, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, there are so many different variations and there are so many misunderstandings about it. Yeah. There are people that have nothing that is different than an average birth, but they call themselves intersex now. So where is the line?
Yeah.
And there's specific things that we need. Somebody will say, no, so what if a trans girl calls herself KAIS? I say, well, it will not be on her favor because the medical care that she needs is different than what a KAIS girl will need.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
So I think I find that dumb. And I don't think she can pull it off with a doctor. Maybe she can talk about it publicly and say, oh, this, or call herself something else. But the bottom line, you know, I love objective reality because it doesn't matter how much bias confirmation one gets.
Yeah.
Objective reality will dictate that what is true will remain true, no matter what. So I'm in touch with people that understand that.
Yeah.
That say, you know what? This is something that I like, being born with brown hair. It is not what defines me.
Yeah.
What defines me and what I believe in my humble heart and what I try to tell people. Don't hate me for saying this. I say, think about it as an invitation to open your heart, to be more, to think deeper, to not take what a group of people tell you as a rule just because you want to fit in with them. Mm-hmm. You're not being protected or taken into the right path if the path is self-destruction or destruction of your mind. Mm-hmm. These are the type of people that I favor. Obviously, people that care more about their future than their details of their victimhood.
Yes.
They were victimized. So yes, I am in touch with a lot of them and parents. I have seen so much, Marcus, from, I could write a book about that as well.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I mean, I'm so happy that you are, I think we're so much alike, which is funny because we don't experience the same condition.
Pain is pain.
But I mean, I live a happy life as a trans man because it's kind of the same thing. Like in my everyday life, I'm just a guy. I'm just Marcus.
Yeah.
But if I'm gonna reflect or gonna, I mean, analyze my biology and all that stuff, yes, I am different and I deal with this certain thing. But again, it doesn't define who I am. Like, but I mean, thank you so much for wanting to talk to me. I find you such an inspiring and just a loving person, and you're amazing, and I hope all the best for you, and I hope that people also, I mean, find it useful, because also people, if they deal with KAIS, that I hope they can find you and feel better about themselves. But thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Marcus, and I really think that you have a bright future ahead of you. You're wonderful guy. You're so cute too. You're adorable.
Thank you.
So I think it doesn't hurt, and I know that your intentions are good, and you continue to refine yourself, to be more on point, to get more into that man that you are becoming, and it's wonderful to watch. It's really wonderful. So I wish you the best. We're going to be in touch forever.
Yes.
I appreciate this time with you. I'm glad that we got to do this. And I hope some people out there take what serves them. Focus on whatever is going to serve you.
Yeah.
And whatever doesn't serve you, leave it. That's
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Without anger, without pointing fingers, there's room for all of us. But be successful, you know, pursue success, pursue self-development.
Yes. And amazing. You're so iconic. But thank you all for listening or watching. And
everybody.
Yes. And thank you, Delia.
See you again. Bye.